श्रील गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री दौजी गोपाल की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, श्री बिनु गीत की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रणानंद हरि हरि बोल। सो here we are back again. Good evening to everyone. Continue with our series of the song of the flute, Sri Benu Git. So today we are in meeting number 21. We will be studying verse number 18, first part. I'm sure it will be first part. We won't finish today. So this will be a very special verse, as we will see. But as usual, let's make some brief recap of what we saw some days ago. Second part of verse 17, which we also studied in two parts, connected to the Pulindis, or the aborigine ladies who have been blessed, if you will, by seeing the kumkum that was in the feet, that was in the body of the beloved of Krishna. And by seeing that, by smelling that, and by smearing their bodies with that, they experience highest fulfillment, purnatva. And basically what we saw in the last meeting, which was the second part for analyzing this verse, was to begin with, we mentioned who was the gopi from whom body, the kumkum, originally ended up in Krishna's feet. And we revealed, according to what Jiva Goswami and other acharyas mentioned, that gopi was Sri Radha, Krishna's main consort, if you will, main Shakti, personification of Krishna's internal potency. So basically that was the very first point. And of course we explained how this was possible, because remember that all this is happening in the context of Purva Rag, which is the falling in love which precedes the first official consummation of the relationship. So how is that some gopi was with Krishna in Purva Rag? So Jiva Goswami explains some short meeting where Krishna played the flute, Radha passed out, fainted, and Krishna just went there and awakened her with touching with the lotus petal, and that was tainted by the saffron paste that was on Radha's body, and that ended up somehow in Krishna's feet, and that ended up in the whole forest of Vrindavan, basically. So, and in this way, Krishna is showing this kumkum, which represents the Sri Radha's rag, red color, passion for him, singing her glorious all throughout Vrindavan. What else? The natural conclusion of this and every verse of Venu Gita is gopis appreciating the position of whoever they are praising and praying for being born in their next life as the Pulindis in this case, or even some of them say as the grass which was smeared with that powder. No, even as a blade of grass who can have some contact with something that has some contact with Krishna. He's so glorious that even to be born as a blade of grass, which doesn't seem like a very flattering birth, and have some contact, not directly with Krishna, but with something that had contact with Krishna, that's like highest possible fortune. So of course the question is, who must be that Krishna for these people to be praying in such a way? So basically we saw that last class. So today we will continue with verse 18. And remember, Sri Radha was the one, the gopi, who was the main somehow character of the previous verse, if you will, along with the Pulindis in her own way. And today's verse will be a very unique praise directed to Sri Giriraj Govardhan. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. So who is a very sacred hill in Vrindavan, very special mountain we have there. Very sacred. That's Petra, no? Very sacred rock, no? That we worship in Vrindavan, which is considered to be, as we will see, a very special manifestation of the Supreme and of the devotees of the Supreme. So this is a very famous verse. Maybe this is the most well-known verse of the whole Venu Gita. I already mentioned some of them who were quite well-known. Barhapidam, Natabarava Pukarnayo Karnikaram, fifth verse. But this is like competing in popularity, if you will. This is very well known. This is like the, I mean, there are many, but one of the pranam mantras to be offered unto Sri Giriraj. For example, Mahaprabhu, it is mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan, the first thing that he did when he got darshan of Govardhan was to recite this verse. And then when he went to Jagannath Puri, there was no Govardhan there, but there was for him, as we know. He will say any sand dune as this sacred Govardhan, especially one called Chatak Parvat, which is just in front of the temple of Sri Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. And whenever Mahaprabhu will see Chatak Parvat, he will also recite this verse, praying Govardhan. So whenever he saw Govardhan, whether it was Govardhan actually or was the projection of his inner emotion, he will invoke this particular verse, which is again a very nice verse to glorify Sri Giriraj. So it's nice even we can learn it and so on and recite it as part of our meditations. As we will see in this verse, and this verse, my point is, as we will see, will be... I won't say that, I will say later. That creates a mystery for the narration. But here in this verse, Giriraj will be glorified as the topmost of Hari's servant. Haridasya Bharja. So, let's recite the verse in Sanskrit first, and then we will share the translation. So we continue with the same meter of all the verses, since the gopis start to singing. Bashanta Tilak. हन्ताय मद्रीरवला हरिदशवार्जा यत् राम कृष्ण चरणास्परसा प्रमोद मानं तनोति सह गो गणयोर्तयोर्यत् पानीयसूयवस कन्दर कन्दमूलै. So the verse says, of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. So, this is a very special verse, as you can see. Very nice glorification. Especially when you will get to know who is behind it, who is its author. We'll get there. But first, let's do some word-by-word explanation of this verse. So, hantaya madrir abala haridasya barja. So, hantaya, the verse starts with the word hanta in Sanskrit. Sanhanta means what?
Kill.
What?
No.
Killer? No. Not in this case. It's an expression of... It's like in our language, in English. Oh. Whether to express astonishment or joy. Or the two of them together, it's possible. When you are astonished, you say, oh. And when you are quite happy, you can also say the same thing. Chamatkar. Again. Hanta, ayam. Ayam means this. Adrir means hill. So this hill, the verse is not saying Govardhan directly. But we will see why this cannot but be Govardhan. So this hill, Abala, Hari, Abala means O woman. So it's whoever gopis is speaking to the other gopis, to her sakis or friends. Hari Dasa Varja, which is kind of the main expression of the verse. Hari Das means the servant, Das of Hari, which is another name for Krishna. And Bharja means the best. So the best of all of the servants of Hari. This hill. Oh friends, this hill is the best servant for you.
Oh, fun.
That's the first line. So first line expresses this statement. I mean, this is not a small thing, like to say, I mean, you are in Vrindavan with everyone is devotee of Krishna. And to say this is the best devotee of Krishna, in a place where everyone is a devotee of Krishna, I mean, that must be a special person. So to justify the statement, to explain why this particular person who is a heel is the best devotee of Hari, the three remaining lines will unfold the why, basically. The because, basically. So the second line says, Yad Rama Krishna Charanash Parasa Pramoda. So Yad Rama Krishna, Yad means because. So then comes the because, Yad, because. Rama Krishna Charanas Parasa Pramod. So Rama Krishna already, they appear in many verses. It means Krishna Balaram, Dauji Gopal, Kanuram, Kijai. Charana means what? Feet. So feet. Sparasa has to do with?
Touch.
The sense of touch, exactly. So by the touch in this case. So by the touch with this heel, Krishna, there are two different, we will see the possibilities, but by the touch of the feet of Rama and Krishna, this heel feels what? Pramoda. So Pramoda means very jubilant. Moda means like jubilant. And Pramoda means like very special jubilation. Second line. So that's it starts to unfold the because again. Third line, manam tanoti sahagoganayos tayordyas, tayordyat. So manam tanoti means to offer respect, to offer mana, amanina, manadina. So manam tanoti means the heel is offering respect to Krishna. Sahagoganayos tayordyat. Not only to Krishna, but sahagoganayo. So saha means with, along with. Go means what?
Cows.
And Ganayo means with the group. So the group means Krishna's friends. Or you can say the calves, whatever. But mostly it's direct to Krishna, the cows, and the friends of Krishna. And Tayo. Tayo means to both of them. So the main meaning, here again, we are giving the official meaning here. Then we will go to the unlimited other possibilities of each word. But Tayo means of both of them. Or unto both of them, which mostly refers, who are the both here? Again, Ram Krishna, Krishna and Balaram. Tayordyat. And yat again means because. So how is the Govardhan Hill offering respects to Krishna and Balaram, the cows and his friends? Last line. Paniya suvyavasa kandara kandamole. Four items, or five we could say, I mentioned here. Paniya. Suyavasa kandara kandamole. Kanda mole. So paniya means water or anything that you can drink, like some drinkable substances. More than one, we will see. Paniya. If you go to India and you are dying of thirst, you just have to say pani. But of course, you have to be careful which water you are drinking also. But pani is the word for water. In Hindi. So it's some derivation from the paniya. Because here it's more like a plural, so substances, drinkable substances, not only water. Then suyavasa. Suyavasa, yavasa means grass. And suyavasa means very nice grass. Not only grass, but special grass. For the cows and so on. So paniya, suyavasa. This is, again, remember, this is saying how the heel is serving or offering respect to Krishna, cows, and gopas. So to the cows, grass. He gives his grass for Krishna and the gopas to sit like a soft carpet and have a picnic, but more directly we could say to the cows. But through the cows eating the grass, I mean, the whole gopa community is maintained financially. So much milk comes from that. So it's somehow all of them are included. So paniya suyavasa. Kandara. Kandara means what? Cave. So Govardhan offers many caves. We will explain which is the purpose of having many caves. What you can do in caves. And kandamole. So kandamole means edible roots Or sometimes it means, how is it in English? Bulbs and roots. Different types of thing, but similar category. So Giriraj is offering all these different items to serve again. Krishna, Balaram, the gopas, the cows. And through that offering, his pranam to all of them. So, let's go to some unpacking of this verse after sharing the word by word. The previous verse, we can remember the gopis were speaking about the pulindis, the girls who live in the outskirts of Raj. And some of them, it is said, they live nearby Govardhan. So, there's two connections here, no? In one sense, in the previous verse, the gopis are speaking about another group of ladies who are romantically attracted towards Krishna. So you can imagine for the gopis themselves, that's not the best if they want to hide their own feelings. By speaking about someone who has the same feelings, you cannot but connect with your own feelings, and especially in the situation that the gopis are, as we say, the pressure cooker starts to whistle more intensely. And at the same time, these pulindis live near Govardhan. So when they say that, when the gopis see, oh, our bhava is starting to become evident, we need to hide it, because by speaking of someone with our same mood, oh, but these pulindis live nearby Govardhan, so their attention goes to Govardhan. Basically, by connecting Govardhan as the place of residence of the pulindis, they go, no, let's speak about Giriraj. Naturally, even not necessarily saying, okay, naturally let's speak about Giriraj, but spontaneously they go in that direction, and somehow they may try to hide their own bhava by glorifying Giriraj. But as we'll see, it won't work that much, fortunately for all. So let's see what some of our acharyas mentioned in connection to how the previous verse also is also apart from this connected with the previous with this one. So Sripad Balavacharya, first of all, is here in connection to Giriraj being seen here. As you see here, Govardhan is presented as a devotee of Krishna. We'll see there are some possibilities about that. One of them is his Bhakta Swarup, or the personification of the devotional disposition. So the gopis are speaking in that mood, addressing Giriraj in that mood by calling him Haridasa Bharja. We'll go there. So according to Balavacharya, the gopis say, how is it that the pulindis turn out like this? Being in that way occurred because of the association of a devotee of the Lord, Giriraj. So that's a way of how they also connect, the gopis. Not like, how is that pulindis, who are ladies, as we mentioned, without the bird, the highest birds on throne, attain what they attain by living close to Govardhan? By association with such a devotee, they became who they became. According to Sanatan Goswami, the gopis say, oh, fine. Let the good fortune of these pulindis who have the ability to go wherever Krishna travels be far away from us. That fortune is not close to us. What to do? Life goes on. Govardhan, though immobile, has the topmost good fortune. The word I am, again, this, is said there because of directly pointing to it with the index finger due to their residing in the vicinity of Govardhan. Or sometimes Acharya say that the gopi who spoke this verse, the gopis are not in Govardhan here. Remember, they were in the villages. But it is said that maybe out of madness, the gopis who spoke this verse just went out running towards Govardhan. So it's saying this hill, which implies you say only this if something is close to you. You don't say this if something is like 20 kilometers from you. So one of the two options, no? One of the gopis in meditation is there who spoke this verse, or just out of madness ran to Govardhan and is pointing it to the hill. Or Sanatana Goswami say it is because of their impression of Govardhan as one dearest to Krishna. It's so close that they feel it so close. So this, not that, this. It's more intimacy. Alternatively, the reason is that in this way, they avoid mentioning the mountain's name out of great respect. Sometimes the quotes in Indian society, and I don't think only Indian society, towards something very respectful, you do not address that generally person, entity, directly or by name, but it's some indirectly, like a way of expressing your reverence from that. So somehow Sanatana Goswami ends his commentary mentioning that one of the options is, out of great respect from Giridhar, they do not mention his name directly. Say, this heel. It's a way of specially presenting the standing of such personality. By the way, we have here Giridhar, for those who don't know, those two rocks that we see in the altar actually are something more than two rocks, as we will see today and tomorrow. But they come from this sacred Govardhan heel. In this case, it's Krishna Balaram, Dauji Gopal in Govardhan fashion. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his Sararta Darshini, very nicely, he gives many points here that will require some unpacking. Some other reasons why the gopis are speaking about Govardhan. The gopis talk among themselves, O sakis, O friends, without taking shelter of a great devotee, our desires will never be fulfilled. Remember, the gopis want to consummate the relationship with Krishna, and that's not happening till now. And they know, if we associate with great personalities, they are like kalpa vrikshas, like desire trees. Whatever we desire, they will make it, especially if we desire the topmost thing, which is Krishna. So we want Krishna, Giridhar is the topmost devotee, perfect combination. So let's take shelter in Giridhar. So our desires bear fruit. So that's the implication. Vishwanath unfolds that here. Without taking of a great devotee, our desires will never be fulfilled. We have heard from Gargi. Gargi is the daughter of Gargamuni, Gargacharya, also a sage lady. And she was very famous in the Indian tradition as one of these very famous ladies, like engaging even in debates with other sages and interesting things. So we have heard from Gargi about the glories of Hari's devotees, and that Govardhan Hill is the best amongst them. Therefore, let's go there today, bathe in Manasa Ganga, and take darshan of Haridev, the presiding deity of that place. Certainly, even our elders will not object to this. Moreover, Krishna's playing on the slope of Govardhan. Just in case, by the way. So that's the plan. No? We have the perfect excuse to have darshan, to see Krishna closely. Nobody will object. Nobody will suspect. No? We are going to Govardhan. He's a great personality. We're worshipping Haridev, who is the presiding deity of the area. And Krishna happens to be there, nearby. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, deciding upon this plan, the gopis glorify Govardhan because it fulfills the desires of Krishna and his companions, as the verse says, not the cows, the friends, and hopefully will fulfill their desire to meet Krishna as well. So here the gopis are glorifying Giridhar as he who fulfills Krishna's desires, Balaram's desire, cows' desires, Gopa's desire. So only gopis are missing in that equation. Why not Giridhar can fulfill the gopis' desires as well? Let's have a try into the gopi thing. Let's go to Giridhar. Let's pray to Haridev, the deity there. It's another play of words with Hari. We will see Hari's name of Krishna. But there's also Haridev there. Krishna is there. We got the message. So, I mean, what are we waiting here? Here, remember, the Purva Rag is starting to be cancelled more and more. They are getting closer and closer to the official union with Krishna. Srinath Chakravarti, not Vishwanath, but Srinath Chakravarti, Karvi Karnapur's guru, says in this connection, in this same line, regarding looking for the favor of Giridhar, he says, Hanta has the sense of harsa, or joy, as we say, like, oh, what's the joy? He paraphrases the gopis, wow, Sakis, Govardhan's favor is the cause of Krishna's favor. We should seek its blessing. Like, basically, just let's run there, just right now. They are brimming with joy by getting to hear this. No? We got the news that Govardhan fulfills all desires. I mean, imagine, you have a very strong desire that is so strong that basically you don't have any other desire. And generally, we are full of desires in 108 directions, and that's the problem. This is like having, as example sometimes given, you know, you are riding a chariot and each horse is totally mad and running in a different direction. So you won't get anywhere. And you won't have a very pleasant ride. You will like one horse there and horse there, and you are not able to manage the whole chariot. So imagine the mind out of control, hundreds of desires that are clashing with one another, are not aligned with the common interest. That's not a nice journey in life. But what if we have order all that in such a way that there's one top priority, which every other desire can be integrated there. That is the root desire of everything else. It's so accommodating that whatever else you desire actually happens to converge in that same desire. Like putting water on the root. You don't need to put water in the branch, in the leaf, in the deed. Just go to the root and everything else is nourished. So, of course, Krishna is that root. And the gopis are madly in love with him to the point that they do not feel any other desire, any other need, any other attachment. But all the... Try to imagine, you have 108 desires, just in being limited in this depicting them, thousands of millions. But what if all that energy and projection and so many things that go along with those desires are concentrated, condensed, and put together in one single direction? What must be the strength of that desire and how much you will be, wanting to fulfill that desire? If that's your only desire and all your life and functions are there. And you get to know on one side that, no, imagine you are vibrating in that particular frequency, that intensity of desire, spiritual desire. We are not against desire. And on top of that, you get to know someone who can fulfill that desire. Till now it was not fulfilled, and you are dying thinking this is not happening, this is not happening, and this is the only thing that will give meaning to my life, and you get to know where this can be fulfilled. So you put the two of them together and Hanta, no, Harsa, gopis are brimming with joy. Let's go just now to the river. So, and why again? They are so happy because Govardhan is the greatest devotee, Haridas Sabarjan. So let's take some time to unpack the meaning of Haridas Sabarjan. For example, in explaining the method for worshipping Govardhan, not only Bhagavatam, but also Hari Bhakti Vilas, for example, refers to Giriraj Govardhan as Haridas Sabarjan. It's not only here that is mentioned. So it's widely known that Govardhan is Haridas Sabarjan, the best of all these dasas or servants of Hari. So, one of the ideas is that the gopis are naming Govardhan, not Govardhan again, they are not saying Govardhan directly, but calling him Haridas, this hill, or more substantially Haridas Sabarjan, the best of all the servants of Hari, because in Govardhan again, the presiding deity is Haridev. Haridev is basically one of the most ancient temples in Vrindavan. If you go nowadays to Vrindavan, along with Gopeshwar Mahadev and a few others, that's one of the most ancient temples in Vrindavan, thousands of years. So Haridev is the presiding deity, still is there. You can have darshan of Haridevji. So Haridev, Haridas Sabarjan, Govardhan, the presiding deity there. So, of course, why the gopis are referring here to Hari? Again, you can connect with Haridev on one level, but also you can connect with Hari. There are many levels of understanding Hari or Haridev. One idea of Hari, Hari is the name of Vishnu, to start in a more generic level. The name of Vishnu means he who takes away. Hari comes from Harati. Harati means to take in Sanskrit, to take. So Hari is he who takes. Who takes what? Who takes away all your suffering, all your misery, if you surrender to him. It's the name of God. If you surrender to God, he takes away all that is cause of suffering. Of course, you have to be ready for him to do that work on you, as our Guru Maharaj will say, like an interior decorator. Mm-hmm. I want to beautify my heart. Okay. This goes out. This goes out. I said, no, I don't want to throw that. But you want to beautify your heart? Yeah. I am attached to that, but that's making your heart ugly. You have to throw that. No, I don't want. So you don't want to beautify your heart, of course. You don't want to let me, as interior decorator, do my job. So if you want that, you have to trust the taste of a connoisseur, if you will. So Hari, he who takes away the suffering of all, different ways of doing that. So generally a name of Vishnu. So in this case, of course, if the gopis understand Hari as the name of Vishnu, they will say, okay, Hari Dev is taking the suffering of everyone except for us. Because still we cannot fulfill our desire, our suffering. And so that's one level of understanding Hari in Haridas Savarja. And of course, more specifically, Hari is for us is the name of Krishna. Who means, who takes away also, but in a more specific way, he who steals your heart. And that's how he takes away all misery, basically. He captures your whole being from tip to toe. He who steals the heart, he's a heart stealer. That's basically the name, Hari. And that is, Guru Maharaj says, favorite name of all the Brajavasis in Vrindavan, Hari, Hari. Because all of them are experiencing that theft at every second, basically. So there the gopis are saying, oh, he who steals the heart of everyone, including us. But we cannot still meet him, although our heart has been captured. And always, of course, our Guru Maharaj, who likes to tell this story of the two policemen in India, I will tell us because it's beautiful. Srila Sri Maharaj used to share that one. And two policemen in India were saying, well, what to do? We are trying to do our best here as policemen, but I think it's a problem, one of them say, that our God is a thief. That we worship Krishna, but Krishna is known as Hari, which means the thief, basically. He steals butter, he steals, gopis clothes, he steals, what not? What does he not steal, basically, is the question. Radha's hue as Mahaprabhu, car, everyone's heart, he's thief, thief, thief. So one policeman was like, we are policemen, we are supposedly working against thievery, and we are worshipping a God who is the topmost thief of the universe. So this may be a problem. But the other policemen say, no, that's not a problem. That's the ultimate, most comprehensive solution, because, as Srila Sri Maharaj will say, a real thief, an accomplished thief, a master thief, does not care for any obstacles on his way. He will go to the reward he wants to take. He does not care for high walls, for locked doors, for passwords in between. He will make his way to whatever he wants to steal. And those high walls and locked doors are exactly what we have constructed around our heart, these policemen say. So nobody enters. But our hope is that Krishna is a thief. So he will go beyond all those things that we have created. He will capture our heart for us. So our hope is that Krishna is a thief. It's not a problem. It's our greatest hope. Sri Hari Ki Jai. So here Govardhan, so some words on Hari, but Govardhan is called Haridas Varja. So Haridas means servant of Hari, servant of that Hari, and Varja means the best. So something interesting to know here is that in Shastra, in the Bhagavatam, let's go speak about the Bhagavatam, three main personalities, three great devotees are described as Haridas throughout the Bhagavatam. They received it officially there. That title, if you will. And these are Yudhishthira Maharaj, Sriman Uddhav Mahasaya, and Guru, Giriraj Govardhan. So, let me share briefly those verses so for you to know what they say. First, let's go in ascending order, if you will, somehow. Yudhishthira, Uddhav, and Giriraj. So, Bhagavatam 10.75.27 glorifies Yudhishthira Maharaj, or describes him, it says, as they all glorify the wonderful Rajasuya Yajna performed by that greatly saintly king and servant of Lord Hari, Haridas. Here are Haridas, not Haridas of Arja, Haridas. They were not satiated, just as an ordinary man is never satiated when drinking nectar. So here in verse glorifying, how everyone was glorifying Yudhishthira Maharaj, and nobody was satiated of glorifying him. Imagine, no? Someone who is so virtuous, so such a devotee, that you start to praise the person and you feel it's not enough. I want more praise. I don't want more praise for me, but to praise someone else. Generally, we feel the opposite. It's not enough. I want more for me. But here, everyone is experiencing, I want to praise that person more. And we are not doing full justice. So that's the status of Yudhishthira Maharaj depicted here as Haridas. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he died. great saintly king, one of the five Pandavas, and so on. The second Haridas is Uddhava. We spoke quite a lot about him in our study of Brahmar Gita some months ago. So, Bhagavatam 10.47.56 is depicting him. It says, that servant of Lord Hari, that Haridas, Uddhava, seeing the rivers, forests, mountains, valleys, and flowering trees of Braj, enjoyed inspiring the inhabitants of Vrindavan by reminding them of Lord Krishna. So this has to do when Uddhava remained in Vrindavan for 10 months after going there for giving a message, and they were doing Brajamandal Parikram with all the Brajavasis. And Uddhava was nourishing somehow the Brajavasis in separation from Krishna, and he was being nourished by them. So here Uddhava is called Haridas. So we have these two first Haridas, Yudhisthira and Uddhava, servants of Hari. So the two first two are Haridas, but this verse is calling Giriraj Haridas Bharja, which Bharja again means the best. So he's the topmost like star. He's not a rock, he's a rock star. Here we have the ultimate rock star. So if you were worshipping some rock star before, you can dovetail the tendency and become a worshipper of Giriraj. The ultimate rock star. Or also Haridasa Bharja means he who is worshipable by all Haridasas. By everyone who is a servant of Hari, he's to be worshipped by them. And that's what we see. All of Haridasas, all of the servants of Krishna, worship Giriraj. So that's another way of explaining the term Bharja. So he's to be venerated by all the Haridasas. Because he's the topmost of all Haridasas. So now to give more strength to the point comes the next idea, which is, who is speaking this verse? That will give some extra authority to the statement. So at this point you may feel some, have some intimation about who can be. No? So this is revealed by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami in one composition he made for Giriraj Govardhan, one Dasrakam. Dasrakam means a composition of 10 verses. You have the Astakam, which has 8 verses. You have the Dasrakam, which has 10 verses. This famous that every line ends saying, Nijanikataniyvasham dehi Govardhanatam. It says, Govardhan Basat Pratana Dasrakam, which means a prayer, prarthana, for Govardhan Vasa, which means for residence in Govardhan, Dasakam, in 10 verses. So in the 8th verse, Sri Das Goswami reveals that the one who speaks this verse is none other than Chirada Thakurani Girija. So there he addresses Giriraj, saying, Girin nipa hari dasa shreni bariyati nama mritamidam uditam shri radhika vaktra chandrat. So basically the translation of this is, O Giriraj, king of mountains, Girin nripa. Remember the word nripa in some verses before was all king. So Girin nripa, he's the king of Giriraj, another word of saying Giriraj, the king of mountains. Hari dasa, whose name Haridas, or the best of Haridas, Haridas is Shreni Bhadiyati, Bhadiya, whose name as Haridas Bhadiya flows from the moon of Sri Radha's mouth. Namam Britam Idam Uditam Sri Radhika Bhaktra Chandrat. Her mouth like, her moon like mouth. From there, from her mouth comes the name Haridas Bhadiya. So, in one sense, we could say Sri Radha is Haridasa Bharja. She's the topmost. But if she even Haridasa Bharja Bharja says Giriraj is Haridasa Bharja, well, it must be so. So just I want to make that point so we became further aware, okay, Sri Radha herself is pronouncing this verse. According to Raghunath Das Goswami. So let's share some further reasons why Govardhan is Haridasa Bharja above Yudhisthira Maharaj and Uddhava, who are, of course, greatly venerated, worshipable personalities. So let's go first to analyze a little bit the degree of love of Yudhisthira Maharaj. All of these three, Yudhisthira, Uddhava, and Giriraj, have, of course, pure love. So from that side, all of them are totally glorious, but there's a hierarchy, if you will, objectively speaking, at least, that we can ascertain different degrees of intensity in how this prem or love develops. So, for example, let's speak from the point of view of Brajanishtha, which means like fixity in our ultimate dham or abode, which is Vrindavan. So Yudhishthira Maharaj basically never had Vrindavan as his residence place. It is said that the Pandavas passed in Vrindavan in their exile, but just like in the exile. Exile means they were not able to stay too much in any place because they had to remain, disguised. So, I mean, you cannot stay too much in one place and remain disguised. So they say they pass, and of course on one level one could say they are there in Vrindavan, in Radhakunda, in the form of trees. That's another way, and Swamananda wanted to, almost raising, taking his hand like this. I could read his mind, yeah. This is a very nice story, just for you to know. I will share it. If someday you have the fortune of going to Vrindavan, or you have had the fortune, and you have the fortune on top of that fortune of going to Radhakund and Shyamakund, you will see something very interesting, because you go to Radhakund and it has like rectangular form. Now, this is, according to our tradition, the top most sacred place in the universe. This lake, Radhakund. And it's a lake of Sri Radha. It's a love of Srimati Radharani liquefied. And next to it is Shyamakund, which is Krishna's... Radhakund is Radha's love for Krishna liquefied. Shyamakund is Krishna's love for Radha liquefied. That's another conversation altogether. But you go to Shyamakund and you will realize this lake is like... It's not like this. One is like this and the other is like... So why? It's not like very aesthetic, no? It doesn't like combine properly with the other. And you see that in that part that is very strange, there is like one tree. So like, what's the story behind here? No? Because in India, everything has some background story. So you will ask locals, and they will request some donation, but they will tell you a story. And the story is basically that Raghunath Das Goswami at that time was excavating. I mean, Radhakunda was, and Shyamakunda was rediscovered by Mahaprabhu himself. And eventually, Raghunath Das Goswami organized for the excavation and the making of big lakes that as we know them today. So he made Radhakunda first in rectangular shape. And then when he was about to do Shyamakunda in rectangular shape, the equal shape, there were some trees that were getting in the way of that. So he considered cutting those trees down to make the other lake in the same form, same size. So that night he had a dream where the Pandavas appeared to him. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjun from Bhagavad Gita, Bhima, Nakul and Sahadev, the five of them imploring, do not cut us. Those five trees are actually us who are having the darshan of our beloved Krishna in the form of Shyamakunda. So please do something about it. So basically the story goes that he didn't cut the trees, so he constructed the whole kunda in such a way that the trees are not cut. He sacrificed aesthetics for the sake of the higher, of course, principle. And you go there now and still there is one tree, not the five, but there's one there still. So, but the point is, in one sense, in that sense they were there, but in another sense, Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't have Brajavasa, didn't reside in Vrindavan, if you will. Uddhava, on another level, he went to Vrindavan, he stayed for 10 months, when he left. And Giriraj came to Vrindavan. We will share maybe tomorrow the story of how Govardhan came to Vrindavan, which is already, generally you don't hear that the heel goes to a place. This is the case here. That's for tomorrow. So Giriraj came to Vrindavan, but never left. That's another level of fixity in the dham, if you will. So according to that lens standard, Giriraj is Varja, Haridasa Varja. And of course we know that Giriraj at the same time, although arriving to Vrindavan on earth, He eternally exists there in Golok Vrindavan as part of the permanent paraphernalia. On another consideration, we could say Krishna, when he relates to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he does so as an elder. He treats Yudhishthira Maharaj as an elder. So he bows down to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He places his head, Krishna's head and hands, at the feet of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Interestingly, many occasions, like an older brother, basically. In the case of Uddhava, Krishna has another relationship, more close, more Sakya-like. I mean, there is some Sakya with Yudhishthira also, but it's another one. So Krishna will embrace Uddhava at some moments. He won't do that with Yudhishthira Maharaj, at least not that often, and not in the same fashion. It's even more intimate, the connection with Uddhava. But with Giriraj, it's said that he lift the Giriraj and put it above his head. Mm-hmm. Well, this is above me. This is totally beyond me. It's higher than me, and he made that point for 1 week in a row. There's a famous history that Krishna lived this hill for a week with his... How do you say this?
Pinky.
What?
Pinky.
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 Pinky finger? Oh, really? Pinky finger? Wow, never heard that. Small finger, no? I mean, they are small, but it's pinky, pinky finger. For a week. Like making that principle, that statement to the whole of Vrindavan. This above my head, you know, it's crowning me. So that's another way we can say Giriraj is Haridasa Bhagavad. And also we could say Yudhishthira Maharaj, the Bhav of Yudhishthira Maharaj is, of course, it's a mixture of different emotions, but somehow he's serving Krishna in some form of Sakya, but there's also some Dasya, and there's also some Vatsalya. In the case of Uddhava, there's also some servitude, some Dasya, there is some Sakya. There's not so much Vatsalya, but we could say he's Krishna's counselor. So in that sense, we could say sometimes he's acting like a senior. Like Krishna asking what to do. Well, I think this. But on top of that, we know he serves Radha and Krishna in the romantic Madhurya context by delivering message. But he did that only once. But he did it. Yudhishthira Maharaj is not involved in that first. On top of that, Giriraj is serving on all rasas, basically, day and night, and facilitating places for all rasas to be there. No? For example, in Santa Rasa, even if you want to speak in terms of Santa Rasa in Vrindavan, like being a stand, it's a form of Santa Rasa, stamba, or inert, quote-unquote inert objects in the hill, in Dasya providing so many ingredients as some of the ones mentioned in this verse. In Sakya, they say that sometimes Giriraj is cutting jokes with Krishna also. It's a hill that speaks. And providing different caves, as we will see, for Krishna to hide when he's playing hide and seek with his friends. And Krishna will say, oh, they will trap me. Giriraj manifests some cave, enter here. No, they won't find it here. So facilitating the Sakya unfolding. In Vatsalya, sometimes there's an older brother who is protecting Krishna, shading him. No, for example, some rain comes, some heat, and like if elder brother will protect the younger one, Giriraj takes that particular mood. And in Madhurya Rasa, we could say facilitating Madhurya Rasa, giving capes for other purposes that hide and seek, intimate meetings there, or Govardhan, yeah, arranging Rasa Lilas and Nikunja Lilas, so many spots that Giriraj is offering for very intimate pastimes there. So again, in comparison to Uddhava, who sent one letter, and Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was not that involved in that type of seva, Giriraj again is considered exponentially superior in Haridasa Bhavata. Of course, one of the reasons that Radha is glorifying here, again, still Sri Radha and the gopis have not had intimate meetings with Krishna in Govardhan, anywhere. But somehow, they are glorifying Govardhan, some of the acharyas mentioned, because they see Govardhan, they see all the caves, they see all the like forest bowers in Govardhan, and they see, this can be an ideal place for meeting Krishna in the future. So somehow they project, oh, this is a very ideal stage for all our desires to be fulfilled. And eventually, of course, that will happen to be true. They will be able to meet Krishna in Giriraj soon on a daily basis. But that's one of the reasons they are glorifying Giriraj in advance. They have not met Krishna yet, but they see how much Giriraj could facilitate for for all that that is yet to come. And this is why, among many other things, for example, that it is said that Uddha, when he was in Vrindavan, as we know, and he was leaving Vrindavan after 10 months and being totally transformed by the type of love there, he praises Ammaho Charanarena Jisammahamshan Vrindavanikimapi Gulumalato Shadinan Jatustyajam Sajanamare Patam Chahita Bhejur Mukunda Pavadin Shruti Virvimregan. Basically, he's saying these gopis have abandoned everything for the sake of Krishna, all consideration for him. So my best fortune will be to be born again as a shrub or as a little creeper here in Vrindavan somewhere. Uddhav is crying before leaving Vrindavan. That's one of his last prayers. So it is says that in this moment Uddhav also got a glimpse about Giriraj's position. How Giriraj can fulfill all the desires. So eventually some sadhus mentioned that again, Uddhav remains eternally Uddhav, but somehow it is to make the point is he was born as a blade of grass near Giriraj Govardhan in Kusum Sarovar, like the gopis are seeking Giriraj's favor. Uddhav is okay. I will go as closer as I can from Giriraj. That will keep my good fortune intact. So in this way, the gopis here, Shirad in particular here, projecting them in the madness of her divine love. Projecting her own bhav and so many other things, she's glorifying Govardhan. Another one of the many things she says is, well, Giriraj is providing, is rendering a very intimate service to Krishna. That's called in Sanskrit Vishramba Siva. Vishramba Siva. Vishramba means, as we spoke the other day, yesterday, intimacy. We speak about intimacy. Vishrambena Guru Seva. So Vishramba means intimacy or intimate, in opposition to sambrahma. Sambrahma means reverential. When you serve or worship someone with certain like distance, as we mentioned, if you find God, you say like, oh my God, and some distance with there, and you may worship, but it's some distance. This is the object of worship, this is the worshipper, there's a worship in between. But the more the affection gets to the intimate point, the distance is bridged, and there's loving embrace. So again, in Yudhisthira and Uddhav, we find some degree of sambrahm, seva, some degree of reverential attitude towards Krishna. I mean, they are aware he's God in some way, or some moments. Some moments they forget, if you will, like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is in Sakyabhav with Krishna. They're friends, but certain type of friends. And when Krishna does something out of the norm, if you will, like show him like a universal form. Imagine you are with your friend, everything's okay, and suddenly he like becomes a universe in front of you. Like no beginning, no end, thousands of mouths and heads and all the world centering and the personification of time devouring everything. Like, you are my friend. This was my friend. What's going on? And as we know, Arjuna collapses there in the 11th chapter, Visvarup Darshan Yoga, and he starts to beg Krishna forgiveness. I treated you as a friend. I sit with you in the same bed. I joke with you. And I realize who you are now. Excuse me. That's the bhav of the Pandavas generally. Arjuna is representing a little bit also what is in Yudhisthira. With Uddhava is not to that degree, but he's aware he's God. As we know, his mission going to Vrindavan was trying to convince everyone in Braj, Krishna's God. So do not suffer that much. He's everywhere. And so it didn't work, as we know. So that's another layer of connection. There's some distance because of this awareness. But Giriraj, with his whole body, is offering this Vishramba Seva to Krishna, offering these intimate places and caves and rendering so much. It's a very nice term. I really like this Vishramba. Our Guru Maharaj Prana Mantra includes that idea. How does it say? Siddhantotpalasara nityarasikam Hamsam Bila Satmakam. With the melody. Odaryakya Sudhamase Bhakadanam Vishramba Bhakti Pradam. And so on. So Vishramba Bhakti Pradam. So he's the giver, Pradam, bestower of Vishramba Bhakti. That's a very nice person. Bhakti in the context of intimacy. Intimate bhakti. He is a giver of intimate bhakti. So, Giriraj follows in that line, basically. No, these are the personalities of the bestowers of intimate devotion, and therefore, again, the gopis conclude, Radha concludes, he is Haridasa Bharata, greatest of all of Hari's servants because of the intimacy. And again, we want that intimacy, Shirada said. We are dying because of lack of that intimacy. So maybe such an intimate servant can bless us with knowing, no? Can bestow us his own mood. He's serving on intimacy, he can bless us to serve on intimacy, in their own terms, of course. Mm? And of course, the implication of that, the appreciation, special appreciation in connection to the Bhava of the gopis, is Sri Radha looks at Govardhan and says, none of the other personalities, Yudhishthira or Uddhava, with all respect to them, but none of these personalities, nor almost anyone else, have turned his very body into a playground for Krishna's pastime. I mean, that's extraordinary. But Giriraj has made that. He turned his whole body into a stage for the Leela to be enacted. No, only Giriraj has done that. And therefore he's Haridasa Varja, the topmost of all Haridasas. And of course, again, here is the bias, divine bias of Madhurya Bhav, because what's the unique characteristic of Madhurya Bhav different from other rasas? That you offer your body in sacrifice, if you will, of Cupid, in the Kandarpa Yajna. No, you offer your body for the romantic interaction with Krishna. So the gopis want to do that, and they see someone doing that in his own terms, Giriraj. They're offering their body for Krishna's pleasure. That's what we want. That's what the gopis want, so they can avoid. But again, they're projecting in many... That's happening in Giriraj, but it's at the same time the projection of Sri Radha's longing, how she wants to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. Turning my body into a playground for Krishna's romantic exploits, no? Something like this. So Giriraj, again, as you know, Govardhan, the name Govardhan means, Bardhana means to nourish, and Go means so many things. It means cows, means gopis, gopas, golok, gokul, and so on. So he's the one who's nourishing all of Vrindavan, basically. All of what you find inside golok, gokul. So let's finish today speaking a little bit about the two main identities that generally are ascribed to Govardhan. So which are those two? Say something. That's my only moment to drink some water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not yet to go to that detail. Then we will go there. The devotee of Krishna and Krishna, to begin with, in general. No? Some will consider Krishna Govardhan as Bhagavat Swarup, is called, no? Like he's Bhagavan himself, Krishna. And there, my point is, sorry, it's not that some consider like, well, I consider, I think, but that's mentioned in Shastra. Like, Skanda Purana mentions Giriraj is Bhagavan himself. Garga Samhita mentions Giriraj is Bhagavan himself. Krishna and Govardhan Leela, remember, Krishna himself is pointing to Govardhan and saying, Govardhan appears and says, I'm different from him. I mean, that truth is a statement. When Mahaprabhu gave the Govardhan Shila to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami for him to worship, and Raghunath Das asked, who is he? What's this? I mean, he knew, but he was asking. Mahaprabhu said, this non-different from Hari, Bhagavan himself. So there's Praman, Shastra Praman, evidence from the scriptures about Giriraj being Bhagavan himself. But also, the other idea is Govardhan is a devotee of Krishna. And there is plenty of evidence for that also in Shastra. For example, that's called Bhakta Swarup. One is Bhagavat Swarup, the other is Bhakta Swarup. And his identity or Swarup as Bhagavan, God himself, or identity as a servant of God. So regarding the latter, yeah. Rupa Goswami, for example, calls Govardhan like Tata, which means like uncle, of grandpa. Sometimes you go to Govardhan and they call Govardhan Baba. Mostly the ones who live in Govardhan call Govardhan Baba. Baba means like grandfather or something, like an elder. No? So they have this kind of relationship with Baba. Baba, like I get to say, no, your parents will be loving to you, but your grandparents will be especially, will spoil you especially a little more. Also, Giriraj Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami calls Giriraj Nijapati in his song. He say he speaks to Giriraj and say, "Your master Krishna, Nijapati means your own master, used you as an umbrella." To make clear the point that Krishna is the Lord and you are servant of the Lord, basically. Or Sanatana Goswami also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that's another place where Giriraj is called Haridasa Varja, the best of Hari's servants. And here, Sri Radha herself is calling Giriraj servant of Hari. So we have, like you could say, who wins of the two, if you will? Should we all harmonize in that way, like pick the one you like the most, or how does it work? That's one way of saying that. But of course, at the same time, here Sri Radha is mentioning Rama and Krishna in the verse and speaking to Giriraj. And so there are different considerations. So what I want to make is, like, of course, we shouldn't conclude which is wrong, which is right. Here comes the way of thinking. We should get accustomed to think in another way, not just like dichotomy, black and white, this is correct, this is incorrect, this is wrong. In connection to the absolute, many possibilities are correct at the same time. Which generally is not happening here. It's one thing or the other. So for example, one way of explaining this one will be like, in the same way that when you are affected by material Maya Shakti, material illusion here, if you will, you will filter reality through the lens of sattva, rajas, and tamas. Mostly those three ingredients will be dictating what you see, how do you interpret that, how you feel, and many of those things may be just like symptoms of your being under the quote-unquote shelter of these three components of Maya Shakti. So similarly, when we speak about similarly, not identically, when we address a spiritual reality, we can address those principles, if we will, through different lens. And in this case, we could say Sandini Sambit Ladini. One way of explaining that. No? Like, for example, we speak about the Guru, three Guru. No? You could say many things about the Guru. For example, you can read the Guru principle, which is a complex topic, not so easy. According to Sandini, Sambit, or Ladini. No. Guru is Guru Tat. So I will say Guru is Baladev, Balaram. No? So Balaram is correct. No? According to what's called Sandini Pradhana Bichar. Bichar means like perspective, and Pradhana means like dominated by. So a perspective which is dominated by Sandini Shakti. Sorry, I'm getting quite technical. What to do? It has to happen sometimes. So, Sandini Pradhan Vichar. So, it means a perspective or a vision predominated by Sandini, which is the existential aspect of the spiritual potency. Sandini, Sambit, Ladini means like Satchitananda in connection to Swarup Shakti or Bhakti. Super, in the words of Guru Maharaj, will be Super Sat, Super Chit, Super Ananda. Not just. And Satchitananda means existence, consciousness, and bliss. So here we speak about super existence, super consciousness, super bliss. So Sandini means super existence. And Balaram, Baladev is the deity who presides over that principle. So if you see the Guru through the lens, through the consideration dominated by the principle of Sandini, you may see Guru as Balaram. And it is seen. Gurudev is Balaram, representation of Balaram. Mm-hmm. But other devotees may see Guru through the lens of Sambit. Pradhan Bichar, through the lens of the principle of Sambit, which is presided by Krishna. So, Sakshat Hari Bena Samastra Shastra. Many times we hear Guru is not different from Krishna. So you can see Guru as Krishna in one way. And you can see also to the Ladini Pradambichar, to the glance of Ladini, or the pleasure potency. And you can see, and who is presided by Sri Radha. So you can see the Guru as an intimate service of Sri Radha, servant of Sri Radha, whether in the form of a manjari or whether in the form of Priyanarma Sakha. And that's correct also. There's place for those three aspects in which you are seeing the same thing, Guru, in connection to Balaram, in connection to Krishna, in connection to Radha. The same can happen, I don't know, with Vrindavan. Some people will say, well, Vrindavan is manifestation of Balaram. Or no, we heard that so many times. We have heard Vrindavan different from Krishna. And Vrindavan is Radha's abode. So all of them are true. But there are different ways of addressing this same principle. So in the same way, going back to Giriraj, he can be approached in different ways, in these three ways. Some worship Giriraj as Balaram. Here we see an example of that. Some worship Giriraj, who Balaram is a devotee, if you will, if you want to see it from that perspective. Of course, he can be considered also Bhagavan as a, what's Giriraj? Supreme Personality of God, his servitor. Sevaka Bhagavan and Sibhya Bhagavan. So here we have this. We can consider Bhagavan, Sevaka Bhagavan as a servitor. Giriraj is Baladev. Giriraj is Krishna, again, God. And some worship Giriraj as Sri Radha even. Also with the, through the Ladini Pradam Bichar. And Sri Radha could be seen as a devotee again. If you want to see Balaram and Radha as devotees, of course, not devotees in a generic sense, and Krishna is God. In one sense, all of the three are God, but also, and all of the three are devotees, and Krishna is devotee of his devotee. But you can see there is a principle of the devotee and there is a principle of God. So there is place for approaching Giriraj as God, there is place for approaching Giriraj as a devotee. I'm just mentioning some brief words about Govardhan Tattva, which is a huge department. I mean, we will need another series of 25 classes only to determine who Giriraj is with some words. So mostly in this verse, as we see, Sri Radha is depicting Giriraj. Let me say two more words and we finish. In connection to his Giriraj Bhakta Swarup, because she's calling Giriraj how? Haridasa Bharja, the best of all servants. So in this verse is describe how Govardhan is worshipping or is offering respects, manam tanoti, to Krishna in so many ways. And all the ways, as we have mentioned, the caves and the fruits and the water. And it's to say that all the things that Govardhan is offering in service are actually ecstatic responses that Govardhan has in connection with Krishna. So Krishna is walking on Govardhan, and new sprouts come, and the grass becomes auripilated, like her hair is standing on end. So it's interesting because his sattvika bhavs become service. And because out of service he's feeling sattvika bhav. Do you follow my point? So one is feeding each other. No? So the trees start to cry and cry like honey. Our different fruits start to manifest because of symptoms like tears coming. No, the tears of Govardhan are the waterfalls, as we'll see, the different lakes. And the horripilation are the grass standing on end, and so on. So the point is, in connection to Krishna again, the sattvika bhavs come, symptom and ecstatic symptoms, and those immediately act as in the context of service. So because of service, he's in ecstasy, and his ecstasy acts as a further service, facilitator of service, basically. Pramoda. The word pramoda means speaks about the ecstasy of Govardhan here. Pramoda means moda means joy, and pramoda means like eminent joy, like very eminent joy. So his seva and his ecstasy go hand in hand. So he's serving and he's feeling ecstasy, but his ecstasy also is engaged in service in all this form that it takes. So, for example, Govardhan's perspiration is kind of the for example, the melting stones in Govardhan's heel is full of stones. But when Krishna is there, the stones start to melt. That's kind of the third perspiration. When you perspire, it's kind of you melt. no, somehow. So Govardhan is melting, literally. You cannot melt a rock that easy, but Krishna is walking and the rocks melt so he can walk swiftly. As we know, everyone is concerned about Krishna's feet health. Also, Govardhan is contributing to that as well. So again, hairs are standing on an end like the erect black grass and tears of love as gushing waterfalls. So Sanatana Goswami said that from the touch of Krishna's feet, the Govardhan rocks turn into butter balls. That's his way of putting that. In order to preserve the unique, also another reason to preserve the unique markings of Krishna's feet. Because if you walk on a rock, your markings won't remain in the rock. But if the rock melts, well, you can like receive the markings and then they come again. So the markings of Krishna's feet are everywhere there. And two more things, and with this I'm finishing. Please believe me, don't laugh at me. Why are you laughing? Constantly breaking my vows. Sanatana Goswami mentions the word tanoti. Let's finish with this line. Tanoti means, manam tanoti means to offer respect. Tanoti means like to offer, but also means like to spread. Like a way, if I offer respect to you in a very comprehensive way, you will say, I'm expanding respect to you. I'm like spreading. That's like very expansive. So Sanatana Goswami says, Govardhan expands the honor being shown by everyone else. That's the meaning of tanoti. Like implying, I mean, Govardhan is Govardhan, but so many other entities are in Govardhan. So many other servitors. So Govardhan is facilitating everyone's service to Krishna. So he's offering respect to Krishna by facilitating service to so many others. And himself is serving as well. So he's serving and he's a facilitator of so many other units of dedication for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's the meaning of tanoti, spreads or expands. Someone who is so much of such a servant that he's facilitating, serving not only himself, herself, but spreading that service current and engaging so many others there. So next idea will be to understand or to describe how Govardhan serves, in which specific forms. In this verse some of them are mentioned, and of course all these forms that Govardhan is serving Krishna, the gopis will like to serve. Sri Radha here in particular would like to serve. Apart from this verse, for example, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur in his Braja Riti Chintamani mentions that Govardhan is serving Krishna in 8 ways, and Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu mentions that Kiriraj is serving in 21 ways. Very unique 21 ways. Sometimes in Archana, in the worship, in the altar, is speaking about Sodasu Pachar, which means the offering of 16 items of worship specifically. But generally, nobody can offer all of them all day at every moment with the purest organic elements, but Govardhan does. Not only those 16, but plus 5, 21, Jiva Goswami mentions in the Gopal Champu. So the best pujari we have there. Giriraj, nobody can go beyond him. So which are these 21 elements in sequential order? Tomorrow. You will see tomorrow, among other topics that we will want to share to begin to finish this verse. But here we will put our discussion to rest, offering pranam to the kirtan of the gopis, this Venu Gita, in this case particular Sri Radha, which again has so powerful that has the potency to spread and span and purify the three worlds, hope praying to be sprinkled by something of that. Vandinanda Brajastrinam Padarenuma Bhikshnasayasam Harikatot Gitam Punati Bhuvanandriyam Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sri Dauji Gopal Ki Jai, Sri Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Venu Gita Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Ki Jai.